Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Starting out with a little bit on this press freedom, it looks like the United States, which has not been in the time that we've been covering press freedom, this particular index at least, and the website is rsf.org. That's the Reporters Without Borders, rsf.org. It is down since last year. So last year, U.S. was at number 45, and this year it is at number 48. So it's not like, you know, it was really that great over the last several years anyway. The times we've been talking about it, it's been in the low kind of mid-40s range, 45, 47, nowhere near as good as a good chunk of the rest of the world, the top most free nations for press freedom, according to the Reporters Without Borders. Number one is Norway, two, Finland, three, Sweden, four, the Netherlands, five, Denmark, Switzerland at number six, New Zealand at number seven, which is a shocker considering New Zealand actually has a censor. There's a government censor. There's an office of the censor or whatever they call it over there, and that has been in place for generations in New Zealand.
Which is why I'm curious as to their methodology of how they conducted the
Well, there's a whole tab all about their methodology, so be sure you check that out. But it's, you know, Reporters Without Borders is one of the more respected press freedom agencies out there. Wrapping up the list, number at least the top 10. Number 8, Jamaica. Number 9, Belgium. And number 10, Costa Rica. The press needs to be critical of the government. That's what their role is supposed to be. Ideally, is that they're supposed to be another check on the out of control, or what could be and what certainly is, an out of control government, regardless of the political viewpoints. But most media salivate over politicians. They treat them with respect. They treat them almost as though they are like, you know, royalty or Hollywood stars.
And, like, they're infallible sources. I mean, they've had, especially the whole Russian collusion thing, like CNN, MSNBC, they'd have all these sources who would say, like, oh, Trump versus collusion, Trump's going to get impeached.
Didn't
and in
happen.
2 years, like, yeah, absolutely, didn't happen. And they still have these people on as experts.
Really?
And, oh, absolutely, yeah. And it's why I cover a lot of the media stuff on Radio Free Keen, but mm-hmm. It's why the Trump White House sent out a memo to these media organizations saying, like, look, you've had all of these guests, and they had a list of guests like Maxine Waters, Eric Swalwell, and they said, look, they've all been wrong. All of our predictions have been wrong, so we kindly ask that you stop giving them a platform. And, you know, it was obviously a publicity gimmick.
Mm.
But, and they, it's like, and I've experienced this in my own profession, you know, my own short yet, budding professional life. It's where people, they're told they have to behave themselves, right? They can't go after the government too hard. Otherwise, they'll lose access to government sources and the government won't cooperate with them. When it's like, you know, compromising for the truth, it's impossible.
Story coming from CNN Business that people are having their Facebook account shut down. Not only that, also Instagram, which, of course, is owned by Facebook. The story here, Facebook announced Thursday, that's yesterday, that it had designated some high-profile people, including Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan, who's notorious for using anti-Semitic language, and right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones as, quote, dangerous. And it said they will be purging those people from their platforms. Jones and his media outlet InfoWars previously had already been banned from Facebook back in August of last year, but had maintained a presence on Instagram, which is owned by Facebook. On Thursday, Jones and InfoWars will be barred from Instagram as well. Other people banned Thursday include Paul Neelan, an anti-Semite who unsuccessfully ran for Congress in 2016 and 2018, and fringe right-wing media personalities Laura Loomer, Milo Yiannopoulos, and Paul Joseph Watson. There's another headline today that the governor in New Hampshire he vetoed.
That's right.
The death penalty repeal.
Now there's enough power to get that overwritten, right?
Initially, they have to re-vote on it if they're going to override.
Yeah.
But the initial votes did have override-proof majorities.
Okay.
Or veto-proof majority, so they have enough to override the veto. But they still have to go through that process of overriding. So hopefully they'll be able to do that. But of course, they actually had the governor do the veto. According to the article, he went to a building that was named after the police officer who was killed by the one man in New Hampshire who's on death row. There's only one guy.
Right.
And he killed a cop, allegedly, apparently. And so they named some building after that guy. When the governor went to go and veto this, he made a special trip to that building to sign the, you know, the veto in that man's building that was, you know, named in the honor of this dead cop. Gotcha. And of course, he was surrounded by police while he was doing it. So it's all about the police. It's all about the only reason why the death penalty still is in New Hampshire is because of the worship of the police.
Yeah, police worship, cop worship.
That's all it is. The people don't want it.
Nope.
I mean, if you've got veto-proof majorities of both the House and the Senate voting for a thing, and the governor's going against it, it's the cops. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else. The process, they say, this is Facebook's spokes bureaucrat saying, quote, "The process for evaluating potential violators is extensive, and it is what led us to our decision to remove these accounts today. We have always banned individuals or organizations that promote or engage in violence and hate, regardless of ideology," said Facebook. The spokesperson told CNN Business the company goes through a lengthy process and takes into consideration a number of factors before determining an individual to be, quote, dangerous. The Facebook spokesperson said factors include whether the person or organization has ever called for violence against individuals based on race, ethnicity, or national origin. So is it okay to call for violence just because you want to see somebody get hurt? If it's a problem to call for, you know, it's a problem to call for violence because you don't like the person's skin color, okay. But it's okay for somebody to say, you know, hurt this person because I don't like them as an individual? I can't imagine they would stand for that either. Or would they? Or whether the person has been identified with a hateful ideology, whether they use hate speech or slurs in their about section on their social media profiles, and whether they have had pages or groups removed from Facebook for violating hate speech rules. In some instances, when Facebook bans an individual or organization, it also restricts others from expressing praise or support for them on its platforms. The Facebook decisions that they're making, you know, it's arbitrary. They can decide to run their system however they want, and they didn't used to be a behemoth, right? Like, they used to be a small company that just provided a social media platform for college students. That's what the original purpose of Facebook was, as I understand it. You actually had to be going to college in order to have an account on Facebook in the original days, and that was before I was involved, because I wasn't going to college at that time. And then they, you know, expanded out from there, and now they're this massive behemoth that basically has crippled their own platform on purpose, because the selling point, whenever you talk to somebody who's still on Facebook, they almost always say the same things. They'll say something to the effect of, yeah, I'm still on Facebook, I don't really want to be, but that's where everyone is. Even then we can point out, well, Chris isn't there, and I'm not there, and, you know, like, we can point to all these people that aren't there, but there's still the perception that's where everyone is. Mm. But then I also will point out that you also can't reach those people. Like, that the illusion of Facebook is that everyone's there. Okay, there are a lot of people there. I think there's like 2 billion of the world's population that have Facebook accounts, although there was recently an article about how many of their accounts are dead people at this
point. Yeah, and, you know, there's also a world population of about 9 billion, so it's not...
Is it 9 now? I thought it was...
Eight,
I thought it was approaching 8. For people that want to have groups or whatever, I would say it's probably better to have different apps rather than have everything all... Try one site trying to do everything. Mm. Have your social media, your posts be on Mastodon. And then if you want to have more of like a group atmosphere, go on to a forum where the people who are interested in the things that you're talking about are there. And then, you know, different forums can be running different software, and that means that there's competition out there for the different types of software rather than this massive mega corporation, Facebook, that gives you this honestly crappy experience. One of my longest complaints about Facebook, even when I was a regular user, was that their groups suck. I mean, if you've ever been on, you've never been on it, but if you've ever been on one of their groups, the search feature is terrible. You can type in searches that you know should find something, like, because you know you made the post previously. Like, if you search a certain word that you're 100% certain is in that post, it just won't show up. You know it's in the database. You know it's in the group. If you scroll down long enough, if you knew, like, what date it was and you scroll down to get to that date, you'd find the post. but it doesn't show up in search.
Hmm.
And of course, unlike a forum where you can move posts from one sub-forum to another, so like if you're on the Free Talk Live forum over at forum.freetalklive.com, it's part of the larger Shire forums, and so there's other forums subjects. So like the ForkFest forum
is
on the same place.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
So my thoughts about the Facebook thing, have you heard of the Daily Mail? It's a tabloid on Facebook.
I mean, we've read the Daily Mail's website.
Right. Yeah, right. They're quite a controversial tabloid.
That's an actual print tabloid in the UK, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's not really trusted. It's not a good news source. But
most people don't trust tabloids.
Talk about fake news. It's fake news.
It's
intentionally fake news.
I've seen some decent.
Not everything there's fake.
I've seen some decent reporting in the Daily Mail.
They cover some things that are real.
Absolutely.
They cover some real news. They just cover it in a way that's tabloidy. You know, it's like exploited.
I mean, I trust it slightly more than I trust CNN.
That's not saying much,
CNN,
right?
It's none. So I trust Daily Mail a lot more.
Right.
All right. So what about the Daily Mail? Josh?
Yeah, sorry.
So what about the Daily Mail? I presume you were going somewhere by bringing them up.
Yeah. So recently we have this guy in the UK called Tommy Robinson. He's like a far right extremist. He's a fascist, whatever.
Okay.
And, He got attacked by a Muslim in Manchester yesterday. They threw a milkshake on him.
Wow.
And
well, that's better than throwing acid on somebody. I mean, I've heard about acid attacks. So
acid attacks. They're quite not that common anymore, but they used to be quite common.
Loomer asked people to follow her on a different platform, adding, quote, "Looks like you guys will probably never hear from me again." Yiannopoulos also published a final post on Instagram. Paul Joseph Watson used Twitter, from which he has not been banned, to write, quote, "In an authoritarian society controlled by a handful of Silicon Valley giants, all dissent must be purged." And, you know, I think that your approach here is the right one, Chris. That is to say, create your own platform. Now, that doesn't mean you have to program one from scratch. They're already out there. You can download Mastodon. And if you've got if you're Alex Jones or you're any one of these people, they can afford to hire a tech person to launch their own server, and they probably already have their own web server for their own website. So you just use the same server that you're on right now, and you put Mastodon on it, and then you can invite all your listeners or viewers or whatever to come join your Mastodon platform.
Some of these alternative solutions are decentralized, so you don't necessarily have to set up your own platform. It's not necessary for each individual to set up their own platform. You can join a platform that somebody else has set up that connects with other platforms.
The only downside, of course, is if you're joining someone else's platform, you're still at their mercy, right?
You can join a platform that's for conservatives or libertarians or for socialists.
Or Nazis.
Or Nazis or whatever.
I just wanted to let you guys know that they were saying Chris Robinson is a fascist. I mean, he's the total opposite of a fascist. He's just talking the truth. And
is it Chris Robinson or Tommy Robinson?
I think he means Tommy Robinson.
Oh, is it Tommy? I'm sorry.
I don't know. That's what the other guy said before he said something we had to drop off the air. But I don't know anything about this character. Now, are you calling from Manchester, New Hampshire, or Manchester, England?
No, New Hampshire, the real one. That's right.
You know there's a bunch of Manchesters, right? Like there's Manchester, Connecticut, Manchester, Vermont.
No, the only one that counts is Manchester, New Hampshire. Mm. And I'm telling you, this guy is the only one who's speaking up for freedom in Europe.
Freedom,
and
okay.
They're shutting him down. They're shutting him down.
What are they doing to him?
That's interesting.
Well, he's under surveillance all the time.
Well, and also earlier this year, he was arrested for like filming. He was arrested for filming something, and regarding a trial or something, or the judge. It was like judicial.
Oh yeah, they're not allowed to do that over there in Europe.
We live in America. We could walk down the road with a rifle in our hand.
No.
You live in New Hampshire.
You live in New Hampshire.
I'm sorry.
How long have you lived? How long have you lived in New Hampshire?
My whole life.
Okay.
Well, there
have
we
you,
go.
Have you ever right? Have you ever visited other places in the United States?
I've been to Canada.
Okay. And what did you have to do with your gun when you went to Canada?
Hide it.
You can't get a – you didn't smuggle a gun across the border, right? You didn't actually successfully –
Don't answer that. Please don't answer that.
Hey, I'm worried about Bigfoot. If I come across Bigfoot in the mountains, I got to have my .44.
No, wait a minute. What if the Bigfoot's friendly? What if he's approaching you because he's just hungry?
Then we'll smoke weed. That's it.
In some places, it is a crime to shoot at like a Bigfoot or something. There's some law against it.
But hey, Douglas, I'm glad that you live in New Hampshire. It's a great place. We're actually broadcasting from Keene, New Hampshire as well.
I'm familiar.
Yeah, and so it's wonderful to be able to carry guns openly, and that's something you can do in New Hampshire. A lot of other places, you can't do it. You know that in Massachusetts, you can't have a gun in most cases, right?
Oh. I've been there many times illegally.
Yeah. Yeah. You've been looking at a story about their court, some kind of court case or court cases where they're describing themselves as either a platform or a
publisher. Absolutely. Yeah, this is, comes from via The Guardian, and it's a year old story, right? So, but I think it's still, you know, it's obviously an ongoing issue, and you know, the article's title is Facebook a publisher? In public it says no, but in court it says yes. Facebook has long had the same public response when questioned about its disruption of the news industry. It is a tech platform, not a publisher or a media company. But in a small courtroom in California's Redwood City on Monday, attorneys for the social media company presented a different message from the one executives had made to Congress in interviews and in speeches. Facebook, they repeatedly argued, is a publisher and a company that makes editorial decisions which are protected by the First Amendment.
Are they saying they publish their own content? Because I guess Mark, blog.
It's probably not incorrect, really, because they have editorial control, but they don't necessarily produce their own content. So in some respects, they are.
Well, there was that article that Mark, the CEO guy, what's that?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg, that he wrote where he editorialized about why the government ought to control Facebook. Terms of service aren't a real contract. I understand people want to believe that they are, but they're not. They're not a real contract.
Right. I would agree with you on that. But still, there's still like, you know, when you send something to somebody else, they have to receive it, but they can ignore it or drop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it, there is, you know, look, if Facebook starts sending you stuff and you don't like it, ignore it, you know, drop it.
That's right.
That's how the internet works. You know, it's, I'm amazed, you know, this is something that I have a story and it's, I don't know. Oh, unfortunately, it's not the one I was going to bring up. But it's this thing that people don't seem to understand, that you don't own other people. There's not a single jurisdiction that, you know, when you're on the internet, you're not in a single jurisdiction. There's laws all over the place. The only thing that, you know, automatically by signing up to the internet, you agree to receive anything that's sent to you. You don't have to receive, like, you don't have to read it. You don't have to, you have to receive it, but you don't have to read it. So ultimately, if you understand that, you really shouldn't be complaining about these sorts of situations where even like a DDoS attack or spam, it's not really something that you can at least argue that there should be a law against it.
Well, I'm sure some people would argue that there should be a law against it, but thank goodness there isn't, because
but you agreed to it by signing up for the internet. That's what the internet is. You do not have the option of not receiving something that somebody else sent.
In the court, it argued just repeatedly it's a publisher and that it makes editorial decisions, so they reiterates.
Well, they've certainly made the decision on who to include on their platform.
Yeah, absolutely, which is why even back then a year ago, people are calling them out for it. And it's the rest of it's just, you know, them, the two companies bickering and arguing.
Right, they were being sued by some company,
yes,
claiming
a former startup.
I forget.
You know, they're, I think it's probably fair to say that they're a publisher, just not a traditional publisher, because ultimately a publisher is somebody who takes information from another party and publishes it, but they're not doing the editorial.
Right, usually there's an editor in
of
the way.
That content, right.
Right, there's an there's a journalist and then the editor looks over the
submission. Right. So it's just not a traditional publisher.
Mhm.
It's also the, like, one of a lot of it is a dispute over access to the data, right? So from my understanding of the article, the startup worked with Facebook and was given promise, allegedly, to have access to the data of all their users that they have, and then it didn't work out, and then they've decided to sue, and it's... And I just the last bit here is relevant. It says, questions about Facebook's moral and legal responsibilities as a publisher have escalated surrounding its role in spreading fake news and propaganda, along with questionable censorship decisions.
Chris, I know you had a story about Apple, the computer company.
Yep.
And I know back to like when I was a teenager, you know, growing up in the 1990s as a teen, and I was getting into, like, you know, doing computer repair. I know you actually had a computer repair business at one point. Did you ever have to deal with Apple? Or did you just refuse?
That's a good question. I did have a couple of customers. But to be honest, most of the computer repair stuff I was doing at that time, Apple wasn't really very large. It was a company that was basically going out of business at the time.
Apple was?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
Apple almost collapsed entirely. I think they may have even filed for chapter like 11 bankruptcy or something like that.
Well, the reason I bring it up is, no, it wasn't just Apple. I think Compaq also was like this. There were a couple of the PC manufacturers where if you ever tried to get into their computer, let's say you wanted to upgrade the memory. Let's say you wanted to put a new hard drive in or put a video card in or whatever it was you wanted to do. You couldn't get into these things. They had, like, you know, bizarre screw types, like not just a hex, but like some kind of, you know, like there's Phillips head, there's flathead. Well, they had something else entirely.
I had a concern that I've been following. I work with student service projects, and they were looking at the vaping, the alternative to tobacco smoke.
Yes, sir.
And their realization was they found that the biggest distributor of the vaping products, who has 70% of the market, is out of San Francisco. Therefore, developed
Juul
from a couple of guys out of Silicon Valley. Now, what does this do? No harm. We have 27.7%, according to CDC, of high school and mid-school students in use of the product. And now they've found that younger kids who come near it, who are around it, probably in ages down from 14, they get seizures from it. Toxic substances that, yes, this is all a factor. I'm not saying one thing it isn't, because when working with students, you want facts only. And you're also talking about chemicals that are heated to a height to make the nicotine stronger so the individual has a high. Now, when you're talking about that many kids already there, they're already in promoting the next generation who follow the role models. These people that put this thing together put flavored products together. The company that just gave them last August 12 billion plus, that's 12 billion, not million, is a cigarette company who back in the 60s was one of the most successful child producers of sugar-flavored drinks, including Tang and others that are well-known.
Having a phone in your pocket is dangerous. There's a battery in there, and sometimes
could
they explode.
A vaporizer. This is the more realistic concern about a vaporizer,
right.
is that the battery can explode.
Right.
That has happened to people.
It's not exclusive to the vaporizers. It happens in phones.
All batteries.
It happens in all devices that have some sort of lithium-ion battery. They're extremely dangerous in certain circumstances, and it's a very low risk, but it happens.
Yeah, and it's true. The phone could explode while it was near your face, but the odds are the vaporizer
doesn't usually work like that. They'll usually, you'll know because they get warm.
They
and
get
then,
really hot,
and then they like catch on fire, and like it doesn't happen the way, it doesn't just explode. Like, you know something's going on when these, you know, phones or devices catch on fire.
Now, I imagine a vaporizer exploding could be a little more damaging because, you know, you've got it in your mouth at the time. It could, you know, blow your jaw off or something.
Maybe,
like that.
Maybe, but that's assuming that, like, you don't realize it's about to explode. Like, I mean, if it's getting warm.
I mean, there's some videos of people
if
who...
It's getting
it's usually
warm.
With a mod or something. They
a mod?
Yeah. If they modify it, they put some sort of part or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard stories. I've obviously never seen it happen.
There's some cheap ones out there, too, that are probably not that safe. But it's listen, the way this works is something like they tend to start to get warm and such. Basically, if you have any kind of device and it's getting warm, like really warm, and
there's
it's
a chemical
normally,
reaction probably happening in there, and
there's a good chance it's going to catch fire, and that's a threat, and you're not going to be able to put it out.
These nicotine salts are a more concentrated form of nicotine, which means that And this is a good thing, okay? Now, the people that hate nicotine are going to hate on it no matter what. They're going to say, oh, my God, more nicotine, bad. But it's a good thing because it gets people who are cigarette smokers to quit smoking cigarettes. I submit to you the example of Chris Reitman. He is our Thursday night co-host. And if you've ever hosted a show with Chris Reitman, you know that on the hour, he always gets up, goes outside, and smokes a cigarette. And he was frequently going out outside of his business. He's frequently outside smoking cigarettes because, you know, don't want to smoke inside. And he got turned on to these nicotine salt devices. Now, Juul isn't the only company that does this. There are competitors, and I imagine they offer their products for less. And this works for him. He's tried vaporizers before. And they haven't – there's like a certain feeling. There's a certain throat hit, I think they call it, or whatever, that the cigarette smokers are looking for. And some vaporizers just don't deliver it. They don't deliver that hit of nicotine that they're looking – that they want to match in order to consider quitting. So if it doesn't rise to the level of the cigarette, they're not going to keep using it, even if it is better for them on a health basis. And I think arguably – vaporizing is way better as far as
now there's a new issue of people who never smoked before, and a lot of them are people who are like, you know, roughly my age, who just begin nicotine consumption with vaporizers and Juuls.
That has happened.
Nicotine is illegal. Tobacco is legal.
Nicotine is an intoxicant. What's wrong with that?
It's a poison as well. It's a
So's alcohol.
You're right. So is alcohol. Well, wait a minute. We're talking about a product that was developed that the people who developed it said they had no intention of capturing the youth market, which they did. And they did it by...
Are you trying to say, sir, that having flavored products means you're marketing to children?
When you have a collusion, now watch the words, between the biggest manufacturer of cigarettes and the children's drinks... And
that's not evidence of anything. Listen, there's so many different entities out there that have multiple products on the market, both children's products and adult products. The idea that simply because they come together and work on a project or they work on a product means that they are targeting children is ridiculous. Especially when the argument is based on the fact that it's flavored.
Offered free candy and they took the candy, it's fine.
Where's the evidence that they're around schools or going into schools and, you know, offering these flavor candy flavored products?
You're putting
products.
Words in people's mouths. You're the best sidetrackers around, but you're also silly people.
What are you talking about? It's exactly what you're saying.
He's asking you questions.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more. All for free at freetalklive.com.